Welcome to episode 41 of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by College Baseball Hub. It's a Sunday night where we're going to release our top 25. You guys stay with us. Let's go. What another incredible weekend for college baseball, except for the pure fact that James has clinched the top 10 weekend series challenge. I wanted to get that done right off the bat. I didn't want to wait around. I want to congratulate you and your season-long success. And for the listeners who are just now joining us, all season we picked the top 10 weekend series, and we had a little competition where James would pick five and I would pick five. And we would have to see, we would pick each other's five. And we would have to see who would pick the most series correct. And so if you keep one.
There's a lot of people I'd like to thank, Ben. But I do want to say that, yes, you're correct. I went 28 and 21 on series that you deemed would be difficult for me to pick. All I would like to hear right now is I just want to be praised on my clear and obvious baseball intellect. It was a lot of fun, and I can't. We're gonna do it again this week. We're gonna keep it.
Yeah.
Going.
So it's not over yet. And for the fans,
don't get me wrong. I mean, it's over.
No, it's over. But like, not for everybody to have fun. Not for everybody to have fun. We let our fans go in there every week and pick their like all 10 games, and they do pretty well. Honestly, like most of the fans do better than I do. I am consistently between 1-4 and 3-2 on the weekend.
Hey, Ben, you didn't hit as much of a rough patch as a certain team we're going to talk about later.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're going to talk about a team later in the show. So actually, I think this is a good time to preview the show. I just wanted to get it off my chest that I did lose the season for the weekend challenge, which...
But this is just the regular season crown.
I'm going for that postseason crown. I'm very confident I'm going to win that. But anyways... you guys follow us on social media. We are active on all platforms, and we're growing like crazy. I think this weekend alone, we got over 400 new followers on Twitter.
Wild.
It was wild. But yeah, so today's show, since it is Sunday night, we're going to release a new top 25 that is unique to the 11.7 podcast based off of straight numbers and eye test only. No bias, no nothing, except for the fact that Ole Miss is suspended still. They have... I don't know, 3 more weeks of suspension until the 2020 year. So that's always fun. It's always a good conversation to have as well. But we're also...
We have it at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Right, right. We're also going to review the very close conference standings, the standings that are within 1 or 2 games going into this final weekend where you have 2, 3, 4 teams battling for that regular season crown. We're also going to pick our 8 teams to Omaha. The 8 teams based off of our regional projection that we think is going to travel all the way to Omaha. And then we're also going to talk about some bubble teams. I'll give you a little teaser. My bubble teams right now are Clemson and Wake Forest. They actually play each other this weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And James also has bubble teams of himself. We'll preview some midweek games for this week that maybe boost the RPI for some teams that are looking they're on the outside looking in. And we have some weekend takeaways that we're going to talk about. And really dive into some things that caught our attention. So it's a fun show. You guys stay with us. We already covered the top 10 weekend series competition. I'm over that. I started out hot. I was in first place for a long time. And then actually,
I slowly but surely just
it was ever since I think week 4 when I went 0-5. And like since then, I could not rebound to save my life.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. But yeah, so. Let's start with some weekend takeaways, James. I'm going to go ahead and get started because I think this team deserves a nice little round of applause. And it's not a team that you maybe never heard of, also a team you've never cared about because I've never cared about this team. I barely even heard of this team. But they snapped a 40-game losing streak this weekend.
Dude, when we were planning the show, I think we were going through how miserable their season was. And I said, wait a minute. How many games did they lose in a row? Because I think we kind of didn't realize how many it was.
So, yeah, the IUPFW. Yes, that is an abbreviation for Indiana University, Purdue University at Fort Wayne. I'm not making this up. If you aren't familiar with them, Google them.
Worth a Google.
Their mascot is the Mastodons, which is like a type of elephant, I believe. And they started the year 4-0, swept Alabama State, and then continued to lose 40 straight games until Friday night when they beat North Dakota State. It slid completely under the radar. Nobody was talking about it, and we found it by accident. And that is the type of stats you will find from 11.7 and this podcast. We will find the weirdest stats you've ever heard and introduce you to teams that are barely even real. James, I agree with James, but he says he could play shortstop for that team right now, 2 years out of the game. I said, no doubt we hit 3-4 in that lineup. Like, no doubt at all. They don't score runs. They don't pitch well. I'm sure their coaching is not great. Player development, I'm going to say it's non-existent. I'm going to say their players probably get worse while they're there. But let's put ourselves in a player's perspective on that team.
Dude, I guarantee you they probably just had a senior day either this week or I don't know, maybe it's next week. They have not had a senior in the last decade who's been there for 4 years. There's no way.
No
shot. There is no shot that you will stay at that program for 4 years.
But, dude, James, so let's put ourselves in a player's perspective. They won the first four games of the season in early February, and they went the rest of February, all of March, all of April, and the first 2 weeks of May without a win.
Dude, you know, all that makes me think about is the time that we did our first ever podcast, and then until basically 72 hours ago. That's how long they
That's
went.
A long time between wins, James.
That's a lot of podcasts. Dude,
let's think about this.
Well, that's at least 45 hours of airtime we've gone between
them. No, you're not wrong. But let's put ourselves in players' perspective one more time. They probably thought they were going to win their conference. Like, they went the whole fall, the whole winter break, pre-spring, everything, building up to the first weekend of the season, they sweep Alabama State on the road, and they're like,
message sent. We are for real.
Yeah, we're for real. We're coming back in the bus. It was probably a 10-hour bus ride from Alabama to Indiana, and they were the whole way jumping up and down, counting how many wins they were going to get, who was going to be all conference, this and that, who they were going to play in the conference tournament, who they were going to match up with in a regional. Like, they were looking at Kendall Rogers' tweets and seeing, like, week one field of 64 projection, IUPFW matched up as a 4 seed against Vanderbilt. They're like, we're going to Vandy. They followed it up with 40 straight losses. Like, I've been on bad teams. You've been on bad teams. Nowhere even close to this bad.
Yeah. We both had one season worth of bad baseball at the Division I level apiece. But I was going to ask you, not even a question, just so much a statement. It is so much worse to go 4-40 the way they did than like staggering your losses every 15 games, every 10 games.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what I did at UT Martin my freshman year. It was like we would lose 7 and we would lose, or we would lose 7 and we'd win. We'd lose 9 and we'd win. So, like, we never got a taste of double digit straight losses. They were pushing half of 100 in a row, like 40 straight.
I can just listen to the coach or one of the coaches giving an interview like, yeah, you know, season started off real well. And, you know, we just went through one of those rough patches. Everyone goes. And the next thing you look up and you've lost, you know, 39 out of 40. And you're just like, man, where'd the season go?
Dude, that is so funny. I wish we had like a Netflix series on this team and like just show that. Just show the up and down of the season, mostly down. But like a Netflix show is something we need from this season because it's truly incredible what they did. It's hard to lose.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it would be – you could try to lose and not – like you could put your worst lineup out there 40 games in a row and like they would find a way to win. Like any other.
To think that no one handed them a win twice in 40 games, like every 20 games, someone's got to hand you a win.
Right.
Because what that means, if every 20 games is you had like this 5% chance of someone just playing so terribly.
Yeah.
Like a 5%
strikes or making 8 errors, like that happens in college baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what that means. But they couldn't even run into that. So what I want to be is a fly on the caps of the players down the left field line after they finally got this win. Like, what do you say? Like, do you all just start laughing? Like, what's the deal?
I'm sure there was a lot of laughs out there. Just like a couple shrugs. Like, hey, we did it. Let's play like this the rest of the year.
How many weird things do you think that coaching staff went through? Like, I guarantee you they tried like coaching a game without giving a sign. Like, or something weird.
Yeah.
Something weird. Like, we're not going to coach first base. You know, you guys fill out the lineup card.
Yeah,
like,
all of that stuff happened. 100%. I'm guaranteeing
you. Every bit of it. Like, yeah. Wearing gray jerseys at home, something like that.
Not taking BP before the game. No in and out.
They stopped taking in and out a month ago. I can promise you.
Yeah. So, James, we kind of ran long with that segment. You can do a quick takeaway. I'll allow it. You can do a quick weekend takeaway just because I know what it is. I'm really interested in it. But
yes. So my takeaway from the weekend is that there is a certain ace pitcher at Texas A&M, Asa Lacy, who gets thrown out of a game for showing up an umpire. And I question mark, like, not really. He told him to do his job and like, I don't think it's a good look, but it's not like he threw the rosin bag at him or anything.
Yeah, or like he was 60 feet away from him too. It wasn't like he was up in his face, like pointing.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And yeah, it was unreal. And he gets tossed and he's going to miss 4 games. So if you're listening to this show, Asa Lacy, guys up to 96 from the left-hand side. He's pitching on Saturday, but it basically doesn't matter because him and Doc Sakis, they're both unreal. And so he's gonna miss 4 games, and they've got a series against Arkansas this week, and he's not gonna be able to pitch. Dude, I mean, this is gonna be huge training him because if they take 2 out of 3 or show up and even find a way to sweep, they could easily be in the hosting picture.
Right, and the NCAA suspended him for 4 games. Like, I understand like trying to send a message, but you're taking a team out of contention to like host. Like a really good team, a team that needs their pitching staff because their offense isn't there. So, yeah. Like, and it's for, like, I understand, like, if he threatened the umpire or if he got in the umpire's face and made a big deal, like, all he did was snatch the ball back. He dropped an F-bomb, but it looked like he just said, do your job. And didn't escalate after that. Umpire tossed him. He walked off the mound. And 4 games, boom, here it is. And it's just a joke. And so they're not playing a midweek game, which means he has to sit out Friday, Saturday, or he sat out Sunday, like today, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday next week for his 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just an absolute joke. So shame on the NCAA. Asa Lacy, we're on your side. We'll start a petition. We'll see if we can get that appealed. But, those were our 2 weekend takeaways. I guess now we can treat you guys. We laid the bread down of the sandwich. We'll get right into the meat of the show now. We have our top 25 and our conference standings review. So let's start with top 25. Not a whole lot of major changes. Like I don't know. It looks like the top 16 is about the same. I think we had 2 teams enter this week. 2 teams dropped, obviously. We'll tease it. The 2 teams that dropped were Arizona State, who we were high on all year. They lose 6 straight weekend series. It sounds like me. I think I lost 6 straight weekend series.
You and Arizona State have been trending down at the same pace.
Oh, dude, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think after their first series loss, I think that's when I started going down. Yeah. So they dropped
all I can
out.
Say is at least we weren't their jinx. At least we weren't their jinx.
That's true. That's true. And the other team that dropped out, I can't even think of. I don't have it in front of
that's
me.
That's how bad they were.
Anyways, so we're going to start with number 1. James, do you want to do 1 through 10?
Yeah, and what I wanted to say, when you mentioned that there isn't much change this week, I think it's because the cream has risen to the top. Because
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, or the wheat has been separated from the chaff. so to speak. I think it's pretty obvious who the best teams in the country are. Now, how much that really matters, we will find out, because it's baseball after all, and the best team doesn't always win. So, but just starting with, I'll go through the top five. UCLA stays at number one. They have crossed the 40-win threshold, and they have less than 10 losses on the year.
Ooh, speaking of UCLA, we had a fan send in a UCLA baseball shirt that I'm wearing currently right now. I told the fans that you send some stuff in, we'll wear it during the podcast, which we are today. So I have a sweet UCLA baseball shirt, rocking it right now. You guys send in some stuff, we'll put it on the podcast, we'll wear it. You'll see video of us. We love it. So anyways, go ahead, James.
It's great. I would like something. I think it's a nice, gift for winning the, for bringing the flag home for the challenge. I'm only going to talk about it today. After that, I'm turning the corner and we're on to the regionals.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Sure. Number two, Vanderbilt rolls in 41-10. Man, they're 20-7 in the SEC. That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
Solid. Number three, Arkansas. Number four, Mississippi State. Number five, Stanford. Ben, you want to go ahead and jump in?
I mean, yeah, if you want to cut it short, I gave you the option to top 10 teams.
I'll just do five.
All right. So six, we have Georgia Tech. Seven, we have Georgia. Eight, Louisville, who looked pretty bad this weekend. Not impressed with my Louisville Cardinals. Number nine, we have ECU on the push of being a national seed. They clinched up the American Athletic Conference this weekend. The Pirates look real good. They're a scary team. Number 10, we have a different type of Pirate. We have a Red Raider with Texas Tech at number 10. You see Santa Barbara leaps back into national seed contention. Thank you, James. At number 11, we have Oregon State 12. Miami jumps up to 13. Texas A&M at 14. Baylor 15, who didn't play this week. I guess it's finals week for them, and they just took the whole week off. Okay, Baylor. What they're probably saying is like, yeah, nobody wanted to schedule us. We're too good. And then we have North Carolina, who looked really bad this weekend against Pitt, a very bad Pittsburgh team. But
I watched those games, actually. Pitt was playing like their hair was on fire. And
well, yeah, they just got eliminated from ACC tournament contention. Like, they had to sweep to stay in the question. They won two out of three, though.
Yeah, and I believe it was their final home series, and guys are just playing like they're playing like it's the last time they were going to play together at home, and North Carolina was just like, oh dude, come on,
we got to go north, ew.
Just give us the series, please. But yeah. I mean, you gotta show up. Who would have thought that was going to happen? So
yeah. All right, James, do 17 through 25.
All right, starting at number 17, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. That's a team that could find themselves hosting, depending on how this final weekend goes, and then the Big 12 tournament. Like, If they win the Big 12 tournament, they're going to host.
They're going to host, especially with a sweep at Oregon State.
Oh, yeah. They'll host, and they could potentially be, like, as high as 10, 11, something like that. 18, NC State Wolfpack starting to stabilize their odd season. Missouri, 19. LSU, 20. Ben, we got to give a little shout-out to Ryan Terrio after this for his LSU rant.
that was great.
Awesome. 21, West Virginia. 22, Auburn. 23, Illinois. 24, Tennessee. And number 25, the Dallas Baptist Patriots.
Yeah, Dallas Baptist just swept Indiana State, which was in first place in the Missouri Valley. It was like Dallas Baptist played bad 2 weeks ago, and they were like, hold on, guys. It's May. We gotta step it up. We need to get in the top 25. We want to be a two-seed at a regional opposed to a three-seed. Let's start winning some games. And
you don't want to see them. You really
don't. And dude, this is like something interesting that I just thought of. NC State has literally stayed between 8 and 20, I think, all year in our top 25. Like, not maybe even 9 and 20, 10 and 20, somewhere like.
I think we had them in top 5 in like our first ever rankings.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and double check that. But they're just like the epitome of like an average top 25 team. Like, nothing great about them, nothing bad about them. NC State, just, they're going to hang around, dude. That's the thing. Like, they're not going to get too hot. They're going to be
a scary two seed.
Yeah. They're a very consistent two seed. That's what they are. But anyways, that's our top 25. Going from 25 to 1 real quick, we have Dallas Baptist, Tennessee, Illinois, Auburn, West Virginia, LSU, Missouri, NC State, Oklahoma State, North Carolina, Baylor, Texas A&M, Miami, Oregon State, UC Santa Barbara, and then top 10 is Texas Tech, ECU, Louisville, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Stanford, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, UCLA. There it is. You guys will see some pictures on social media. We'll have that graphic out tomorrow morning. So moving on, James, we got some conference standings to look over.
All right.
These are some conferences that are separated by two, like half, anything between tied to three games, like anywhere where a team can sweep and still be a conference champion. So the conferences that we want to talk about, I'm going to go ahead and talk about two of them that are just like very, very short. Conference USA is tied with Florida Atlantic and Southern Miss. Southern Miss owns the tiebreaker between the two teams. So as long as Southern Miss wins one more game than Florida Atlantic, they will be the regular season champions.
I like both those teams.
Yeah, and then this one's interesting. UT Arlington and Texas State play a three-game series to end the regular season, and the winner of the series wins the whole Sun Belt. So that's exciting. Always want that one seed in the conference tournament. That's always a plus. Those are the two that I wanted to briefly touch on. You said you want to talk about the Big Ten?
Yes, dude. I don't know why, but I've been on the Big Ten. I've been catching a lot of their games, and we talked about it before the show. Like, no, we don't think that the best team in the Big Ten is like in the same tier as Vanderbilt, Arkansas, UCLA, and all that. But they could like some of these teams could really compete and play with these schools. Like, they belong on the same field. So we want to touch this conference. Michigan right now has a game and a half lead over Indiana, according to Warren Nolan, with Illinois behind them. So Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota are all tied 2.5 back.
Right.
That was wild. And then just one game behind them is Iowa, who had a very, very disappointing weekend against Michigan State. And I think there's like 14 teams in this conference, and I think the top 8 make the tournament. Something
correct.
Something yeah. That's wild. Like, how are you going to invite 8 teams? I don't know. Very weird. Very, very strange.
They don't care about baseball in the Big Ten, dude. Like, some teams do, but some teams don't. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so Warren Nolan has the predicted conference standings for the Big Ten, and they have Michigan winning it by half a game over Indiana.
Oh,
yeah.
Someone didn't play a game. The game.
Yeah, but Indiana does own the tiebreaker. So, because they won 2 out of 3 this weekend.
Dude, I think Indiana and Illinois are going to be tough. Are going to be tough outs. Like, they're going to be tough outs at minimum.
I think those two teams, talent-wise, is way better than Michigan.
Agreed. I totally agree. After watching all of them play.
I also think Nebraska is up there, too. I think Nebraska is up there, too. I think that Nebraska is... they just beat Arizona State 2 out of 3. I think that Nebraska could be a very scary 4 seed in that Big Ten tournament. They'll match up with Minnesota in that first round and then play. If Michigan gets the 1 seed, that's a very winnable game for Nebraska, because I'm not sold on Michigan just yet.
No, their strength of schedule has been down compared to other teams in the conference. But Nebraska did win the series, but one of the reasons they won is that they robbed a go-ahead homer in the 9th inning Friday night against our Bash Brothers. But I really like Illinois, man. They're 11-5 against Quadrant One teams. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, no, they're gonna be good. We have them projected to host a regional, so that's just something that we think they're gonna get hot at the end of the year.
Yeah,
that's a team to look out for. You don't want to see them in the tournament. That's the Big Ten bracket. We got, was it 4 teams that could potentially win it?
Yeah, and I want to touch the Conference USA as well.
I already did that, James.
Oh, boo.
I said FAU and Southern Miss are tied right now, and Southern Miss owns the tiebreaker. So let's talk a little bit about the Missouri Valley, because the Missouri Valley is interesting because of two things. One, I actually just clicked on the Mountain West because I'm an idiot. Let me click on the Missouri Valley real quick.
No, you clicked on Mountain West because we're obsessed with every conference in the country and we want to look at
them. That's right. So, no, the Missouri Valley, they have Dallas Baptist, Illinois State, and Indiana State all within a half a game of each other. Dallas Baptist just swept Indiana State, so they own the tiebreaker. But
in convincing fashion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They whooped them. But Illinois State and Dallas Baptist are predicted to finish one game apart. They're tied right now. So basically, if Illinois State win or sweeps this weekend against whoever they're playing, like they have a share of the crown. Like they win a share of the Missouri Valley, which is a complete shock to us. Weird. Dallas Baptist, if they sweep as well, they'll tie. But Indiana State still has a chance. If Dallas Baptist and Illinois State both get swept or lose 2 out of 3, and Indiana State wins 2 out of 3, like they're the champs, like that. So those three teams. Are going to be, I think they're all in the tournament, roughly. Maybe at least 2 of the 3, possibly all 3. And then you have Bradley and Evansville only 2 games out as well, sitting at 4 and 5. So,
yeah, dude.
Very competitive conference there. I like the Missouri Valley a lot.
It's surprising how competitive it's been.
Right. And then, James, you can go touch on one more conference. Dude, it's got to be the Southland.
Oh, dude, yeah, take it. You were fired up about the Southland. I want you to take it.
I almost forgot about how much I love the Southland Conference like standings right now. Yeah. I'm going to read you the top 4.
The fans are going to want to know this.
Yeah, so Sam Houston has a one game lead. And then we have 3 teams tied for second with Central Arkansas, Incarnate Word, and Southeast Louisiana. And then you have McNeese State and Stephen F. Austin only like 2.5 out, maybe 3 out.
So my math isn't that great, but I think you just named 6 teams within 3 games of each other.
Yeah, and
that's
so
nuts.
WarrenNolan.com predicts that it's going to be a 3-way tie between Sam Houston State, Central Arkansas, and Incarnate Word, which is great. I love tiebreakers. Like, I think it's going to come down to a coin flip. Yeah. that was interesting. I like the Southland Conference a lot. They've had a lot of good teams come out of there, like Sam Houston State, obviously. Central Arkansas has been a regional team. Southeast Louisiana has beaten LSU a few times in midweek games. Like, that conference from top to bottom is really good for at least a mid-major. Oh, yeah. And there was one more conference we were going to talk about. What was it, the WAC or maybe the West Coast? One of those two. Let's see. I think it was the West Coast Conference because – yeah, there was a West Coast. So BYU, Gonzaga, and Loyola Marymount are all within 2.5 of each other. BYU is a really good team. Their strength of schedule is pretty good. They haven't really beaten anybody great, though.
Yeah, they're number 3 in our mid-major top 25. We've been going back and forth on them in our regional projections, and like Ben just said, they haven't beat anyone impressive, so I think they're on the outside looking in right now. Like, yeah. I don't care if their RPI is like 40. Like, they're not getting in.
Yeah. Their current RPI is 32, but after their 3 games this weekend plus the conference tournament, that's going to lower a lot no matter what.
I believe they play a team. I believe when we looked last week that they're playing someone that's going to just hammer their RPI. Like, no
right.
matter what they do.
Right. So that's about 5 or 6 conferences for you guys, you true college baseball fans, to keep up with this weekend, because I mean, it's going to come down to Sunday for a lot of these conferences. Like, they don't know who's going to win it. And it's a big deal to win a regular season conference. Like, not only because you become a 1 seed, but it's something that it becomes a memory. You get a ring for it from your school. It's something to be proud of. I mean, it's a marathon that you get I would call it a checkpoint. Yeah. You won the checkpoint. But then the real season starts after that. So
it's a wild animal. It's a whole nother animal, that conference tournament.
Yeah, and so I guess this segues pretty perfectly into our bubble teams that we have as of Yeah, James, you're all over it. You got some bubble teams and some good explanations you were telling me before the show. So you hit it. Go for it.
So this is a team that is back from the dead. We're gonna blind resume right here. If you're listening, I want you to play along and see if you can guess this team.
Blind resume season right now.
That is right. The scoreboard watching has begun. Every bubble team is curious. Like, they're worried about 3 or 4 other teams that they know is just like them, and they got to figure out how they all did. just to see if they're going to be watching Selection Sunday or are they sending their boys off to summer ball early. So this team, 29-21, 9-6 on the road, which is something you need to – you got to be able to win games on the road. 14-13 in conference. So far, this is bubble, man. Everything I just said is bubble. They're even 5-5 in the last 10 games. So they're flirting with it.
Sounds like an average 3 seed right there.
Oh, yeah. Strength of schedule of 25. Non-conference strength of schedule of 56. And I'm going to read you some of their biggest, their worst series and some big series. A 3-game sweep in conference against Louisville and a 3-game sweep in conference against North Carolina. But then in the month of April, this team lost only 3 games. This team is the Duke Blue Devils. Their RPI is 46. They lost 2 out of 3 to Georgia Tech this weekend, and then before that, they lost They lost a game to Liberty, and then they split a doubleheader. A very odd thing last week: a doubleheader against VCU on Sunday, and they split that. So they've lost 4 of their last 5. After only losing 3 games all of April, and a very up and down team, and the reason for the bubble, like really, really, they're really on the bubble because they're going to play at Liberty, a team that is very respectable RPI, in a 53 with a lot of marquee wins themselves. And that game is on the road for Duke, so that's lucky. And then to finish the year before the conference tournament, 3 games at Miami. So. Ooh. Yeah, dude, this team could find them before the conference tournament can find themselves at an RPI definitely better than 30 in the good way.
Right. Well, and then just taking a quick step back, Liberty, this is a big game for them as a potential at-large too.
They're not going to get one. They're not going to get one.
Dude, I don't know. I could definitely see them because they're like 6-0 against ACC teams this year.
Okay, let's break down Liberty.
Let's do it. Oh, you got it. That's your team. I'm looking at your team right there.
Yeah. So Liberty strength of schedule is 137. That's gonna it ebbs and flows depending on those random midweek games they have against the big teams. So
yeah.
It's 137 right now. Once they play Duke, it'll probably be like 110. But they opened up with South Carolina, which at the time they won opening day and they played competitively on Sunday. At the time, looked like a much bigger series. A much better win than it is now. Let's see, rolling through the schedule. They have – where's that game? They've beaten Wake Forest. That was early in the year as well. They also have a win against an ACC team, Virginia Tech. They've beaten Virginia. So their best win so far, they've beaten a Wake Forest team. They beat North Carolina 2-0 early in the year. They split with Virginia. They lost another game to Virginia. They've lost to North Carolina. They've beaten Duke. So big wins against they've split against UVA, split against North Carolina. Got a victory against Duke. They play a final game against Duke again on Tuesday before finishing up against Florida Gulf Coast. But overall, a record of 35-16.
And that's Florida Gulf Coast weekend is big because those two are battling it out for the conference championship as well. Regular season, they're half a game apart, so they have a good chance to help themselves quite a bit with 4 straight wins to end the season. Liberty's a scary team, dude. We've seen them play on ESPN3 a lot.
They have good stats. Their pitching is also nothing to sneeze at, but I just couldn't help but be impressed by just their position players and how I hate to say professional, but they really do look like a professional team, like not your typical mid-major scrappy team. Like they look the part.
Right. So. No, they're good. Let me talk about my two bubble teams because they tie into each other so well. It's Clemson and Wake Forest because I already teased it on the beginning part of the show. Those two teams are bubble teams. I'm not gonna throw stats at you because I don't have them in front of me, but they are separated by like 16 spots in the RPI. I think it's like 39-55, something like that.
I'll get you on that. We've looked at it before, but
yeah. And they actually end the season facing each other off. Like they're playing against each other, final 3 games of the regular season. They're within 1 game of each other in the conference standings. It's two teams that are I think one is in, one is out right now. But with a 2 out of 3, if you win 2 out of 3 over this team, you're going to be ranked ahead of them. So Clemson, start of the year, really, really good. We had them ranked in the top 25 for 3 or 4 weeks. And they've kind of trickled down. Actually, tremendously fell down the last 15 games or so. Wake Forest, on the other hand, kind of started slow, and now they're heating back up.
Very slow.
Very similar teams. They match up well with each other on paper. I think one of them gets in, one of them's out. And it comes down to...
There's only room for one of these teams in this town, boy.
Yeah, and they're not separated by too far. One's in North Carolina, one's in South Carolina. And there's just a ton of regionals in that area. So, yeah, one gets in, one gets out. Don't have room for both. And what I expect to happen is...
Unless one of them snakes the conference tournament.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I think the ACC is going to come through either Miami, Florida State, North Carolina, Louisville. Like, those teams are a tier ahead of them by far. Yeah.
I love the ACC this year. I do too. Love it.
I do too. I love them too. But anyways, what I think it's going to come down to is these two teams are going to play this like a super regional. And it's not going to be like, you know, let's say Friday night, one team goes down early by 4 or 5 runs. Like, they're not planning to come back. Like, they'll probably concede that game, keep their bullpen fresh, and try to win the next two. So what I expect is one team is going to blow the team out day one, and then the second team the other team who lost is going to play it like game 7 of the World Series, and they're going to win that game. And then both teams are going to be completely rested. Their bullpen's going to be fresh. Game 3, do or die. They know it. At least they have a good idea that the winner of that game is going to make it to the regional without having to play well in the conference tournament. So those two teams, it matched up well. They're basically playing a super regional type, best 2 out of 3 to get that, like, I guess the ACC's last at-large bid.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Ben, with all that being said, you know, we're talking about bubble teams. Let's go ahead and talk about the key midweek games, the last chances for these teams to really up some the RPIs and all that good stuff. You ready to roll there?
Yeah, so this week is finals week for some of the schools across the nation. So there are some midweek games that aren't there.
I like these games.
Some midweek games aren't going to happen because of finals. But anyways, James, we can talk about the ones that actually will happen. I'll let you get started with some Tuesday action, and then I'll do Wednesday's action.
All right. I'll go ahead and start out on the West Coast. We're going to shake things up. Pepperdine and UC Santa Barbara are going to duke it out on Tuesday. UC Santa Barbara is our number one mid-major team. They are flirting with a national seed. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. West Virginia and Pittsburgh are going to play their backyard brawl at PNC Park. How cool is that?
Ooh. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Tennessee Tech and Tennessee are going to play a game. Tennessee is also a bubble team that we didn't speak of, which is it's very weird because RPI is 10, but everyone's freaking out over their SEC record. It's like, hold up. They're going to play 5 more games at least. Like, they could go 4. Like, you know, just, you know.
It'll work itself out. The SEC will work itself out, 100%.
Let me just put it this way. Like, if a team of RPI of 10 is not safe, then pretty much no one's safe.
Nobody's safe.
So it's weird. Campbell is going to play East Carolina. Campbell has beaten East Carolina already this season. Those are two teams that we've covered in depth this season. Louisville and Indiana play. Ben, guess where that game is. It's in Indiana.
I like the Indiana Bats this year. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, if you don't like the Indiana Bats, you're just ignorant because they lead the nation in home runs. Like, they're
Indiana is going to play that game 10 times harder than Louisville is. We saw Louisville kind of hand the game to Vanderbilt last Tuesday. They didn't look like they were playing too hard. They were at home too. Imagine going up to Indiana on a midweek, the week after school's out, and you have to face those Bats. Good luck. Yeah.
I think a couple of young freshmen or kids that just don't have a lot of innings are going to make – just try to – you know, the big thing the coach is preaching these midweeks is, you know, throw strikes, do your job, like, you know, earn yourself a spot. And Matt Lloyd and Matt Goyski are going to say thank you and deposit these 89-mile-an-hour fastballs, middle cut, you know, to get ahead early in the count. Thank you very much. So I'm interested to see that game. Dude, that could really bolster Indiana's chances of hosting if they, you know, send a big statement and win that game.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not far off. Like if Tennessee is on the verge of not getting in the tournament, Indiana's on the verge of hosting. So don't give me any crap. You've got Louisiana Tech and Mississippi State. That is going to be a fun midweek. UCLA and UC Irvine. UC Irvine, here is your chance to beat a team that is actually going to play in the tournament. Here's your chance.
You said it before the show. You're like, I really hope UC Irvine beats UCLA on Tuesday. And I was like, why? And you're like, so they can actually beat a good team this year. Like, everybody thinks they're great, but they don't beat good teams.
No, they're 0-4 against Quadrant 1 teams. And if you really look into it, it's like, wow. Like, I mean, yeah, they won the games they're supposed to. It doesn't mean you're going to get an at-large bid, bro. Like, that's like, that's where that stops. And then last but not least, Cal Poly will play Stanford. You know, Stanford's a team that their strength of schedule is really, really bad, but they also pass the eye test. Dude, we saw a prospect video of one of their bats, like, up close. Oh, boy. The Kyle big Stowers.
Lefty. Yeah, that name sounds right. It was just a big old lefty that was fast twitch. Like, everything I wanted to be in the box, he was. Like,
professional swing. Like, that is a bat that's two or three seasons in the minor leagues before getting the opportunity to show. Like, that's the way these top college hitters are moving now is, like, you know, we'll start you in A ball. You might finish the year in high A. Your second season, you might be in double A by midway through. And if that really goes well, like, you might be up by the middle of your third year. Like, that's the way the
there's no point in wasting time in the minors. Like, if they can help your big league club, let them help it. Like, at least get them there.
100%. So,
is that all Tuesdays, midweeks?
Those are the ones on Tuesday that I'm really looking for. University of Texas at Arlington, the Mavericks are hosting or traveling to Waco to play the Baylor Bears.
Ooh, I like that. I like that matchup a lot. That'll be something. Hopefully it's on TV because I'll watch it. James, we're going to have a little in-show audible. Omaha, hut, hut. It is. So this just occurred to me as I was looking at Wednesday's midweek matchups.
Okay.
There really aren't any. There's zero, actually, midweek matchups that are interesting on Wednesday because I think there's five games, and it's like the MEAC conference tournament. Well, I realized that every team is playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week because
really?
I guess because conference tournaments start next Tuesday. So they
want that extra. Yeah, I was going to say, we're less than – I looked this up on my calendar. The SEC tournament, if you're listening to this on Monday, which you're going to because it's about to be midnight in Central Time. If you listen to this on Monday, the SEC tournament starts in 8 days.
Yeah, the SEC tournament starts on my birthday, May 21st. So send me some cool stuff for my birthday, fans. I like unwrapping gifts too. So if you can wrap it, that'd be nice. anyway, so James, it looks like if we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, let's just do a Tuesday night show. And then let's do a Thursday night show and then a Saturday night show.
Wait, when do you want to do that? I've all these days running together.
So let's, instead of Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, let's do Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Starting this week?
Yeah, this week.
I like it.
So that's a little inside of our discussion that our fans never get to hear. I don't want to throw our fans off because they have a routine set. We've had a routine set. But hey, this week's a little different. We're going to have...
Hey, we just showed them how we make the rules.
Yeah, so it's still up in the air. We'll confirm maybe tomorrow. But Tuesday night after the midweek games, because there are some good ones that we don't want to forget about. And then Thursday night will be like Friday night. And then Saturday night will be like Sunday night. And then we can preview the conference tournaments next Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it is. I don't know.
Dude, it's almost like we cover college baseball. It's crazy.
We do cover college baseball.
College baseball.
I was gonna say we can transition really well with this because we're talking college baseball. We cover college baseball. Let's transition. Regionals to Omaha. So this will be our last segment before we get off. This will be fun. So you guys stay with us. We are breaking down our regional projections we released last Thursday, and James had a good idea that we're gonna pick the winners of each of those regionals and then winners of the super regionals. And pick, like, that way we're going to find out our eight teams to Omaha instead of just guessing.
Yeah, because what we'd been doing is, like, naming eight teams we think are going to make the tournament. Then I was like, wait a second, I'm a complete moron. Because we have regional matchups. Like, you can look at eight teams and say, oh, one of these is going to make it. Did you just bang your knee on something?
Yeah. I'm trying to adjust. I've been sitting in this chair for 2 hours trying to adjust. I just banged my knee on the table. I'm going to go on the IL.
You just got to experience, like, and this is not to pick on you, Ben, because I'll pick on myself. That is just one short reason why you're listening to two former Division I baseball players and not two current professional baseball players. We're lacking a little bit on the natural athleticism.
The athleticism and the flexibility is way down. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to distract the listeners. But instead of just picking eight teams out of thin air, we actually do a little bit of math, not math, but a little bit of a actual tournament style to get to our eight teams. And since it was James's idea, I'm going to let him lead it off. Go ahead and tell the people who you have winning the regionals and super regionals and who your eight teams are. Unless you don't have it in front of you, because I have mine right in front of me.
I do. I'm ready to go. Is that
You're actually prepared, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I've got UCLA, shocker. I think they'll match up with Oklahoma State, and they'll go ahead and take that regional. I've got Vanderbilt. I think they'll go ahead and match up with Illinois. Both one seeds will come away victorious there, but ultimately Vanderbilt wins the super matchup. It's odd. We've got Arkansas and North Carolina matched up against each other, and I didn't really realize that because North Carolina is my national title pick, but Arkansas like might win like the Double A World Series if that was a thing. So as of today, I'm gonna have to pick Arkansas, but what that means is we're gonna have to change North Carolina's matchup.
Yeah, we're gonna have to move that one around.
Yeah, that's gonna be finagled a little bit. I'm about to drop a bomb on you. You're not ready for this one. The Starkville Santa Barbara matchup is actually gonna be won. Bless you. It's actually gonna be won by Texas A&M.
Oh my gosh! That you just teased us with that.
Yeah, Texas A&M is going to win. You can just mark it down. Take it to the bank.
I don't know. Ace Lacy might still be suspended by then.
Yeah, that's the only thing that really worries me. So, I got to kind of go against the grain a little bit. I think that's something that's very realistic, though. So I've got so far UCLA, Vandy, Arkansas, A&M, and then in the Georgia Tech Miami Super Regional, I am going to go ahead and take Georgia Tech. I just think they're too deep. Offensively, though, and then in the Georgia Stanford Super Regional matchup, I think both those teams advance and do play each other, and Stanford on the road will take the Super Regional there. And then in the Louisville Texas Tech Super Regional, which I think would be the most fun Super Regional to watch, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not picking against Louisville. Louisville will go on out of that Super Regional matchup with Tech. And then last but not least, an Oregon State ECU Super Regional would also be a total blast to watch. But I think Oregon State just has enough.
I agree. No, I definitely agree. Those are interesting because I think I have pretty similar teams. Yeah. So for my – one thing I will say is I really like how you went against the grain with Texas A&M winning the UC Santa Barbara / Mississippi State Super Regional.
Yeah,
or what
you
got to
have one surprise. You got to have a surprise in there because we went back and looked at how often national seeds go to Omaha, and you know it's about four or five.
Yeah,
Some years it's even two.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and I'm gonna do mine real quick, and then we can get off the show. So I have UCLA beating Oklahoma State in the UCLA and Oxford regional. So I have Oklahoma State actually beating Ole Miss.
Hey, so do I.
Yeah, so those match up well. In the second super regional, I have Vanderbilt beating Creighton.
Ooh.
I think Creighton comes out of that Champaign regional where it's Illinois, Wright State, Tennessee, and Creighton. Creighton matches up with Tennessee, I think, pretty well. Creighton's ace, I think, will shut down any SEC lineup. And if they win that first game, like, they have to beat Illinois, who's our 15th best one seed. Mm-hmm. Some would argue not even a one seed, but I think Creighton could win that regional. And then, obviously, they're going to fall up short a little bit to Vanderbilt, but that's still a successful year for them. Arkansas, I have them winning their regional, and then I have North Carolina winning theirs with Arkansas advancing. I have Mississippi State beating UC Santa Barbara in that super regional.
Come on, let's be honest. You can see those A&M arms getting them to Omaha.
Yeah, no, I know, but their offense is so bad. Oh, their offense is so bad. I want to see a home run derby between Texas A&M and IUPFW.
Oh, come on.
Home run derby between those two teams.
I can't believe you just said that.
I love it. Anyways, I have Dallas Baptist beating Georgia Tech in that regional. Ooh. And they're facing off against Miami. And I have Miami actually beating Dallas Baptist, but close. And I can also see another three seed that could do some damage is Florida Atlantic. Really like them this year. They have a little bit of swagger with them. They're like Miami 2.0. Like, they're not quite Miami, but they're really good. Okay. And they're, I think, within 30 miles of each other. Another regional, super regional matchup is I have Georgia beating Baylor. Baylor comes out of the Stanford regional as a two seed. They lose to Georgia. I have Louisville beating Texas Tech, both one seeds there, hosting a regional, but Louisville advances to Omaha because they're my World Series pick this year before the year started. And then I have Oregon State beating – or so I take that back. I have West Virginia beating Oregon State. West Virginia two seed in the East Carolina regional. I think the game will get bigger than East Carolina. I would like to see West Virginia also pitch Manoah game two in that. So if you can – if West Virginia can
get
by,
advice from Ben Upton. We've already seen the hitting success. Now we've got the managing success.
That's right. I think West Virginia should roll the dice and say the only way we're getting out of this regional is if we beat Campbell with our number two pitcher and then face off Manoah against East Carolina.
You've got me so fired up.
I think that's what, like, if West Virginia has a chance to go to Omaha and get out of that regional, this so-called regional that probably won't end up like this, but you got to throw Manoah game two. Because even if you lose game one to Campbell, like, you probably shouldn't be in a super regional anyways. Let's actually break down the percentages because I want to know your opinion. Okay. Does West Virginia have a better chance to beat East Carolina throwing their number two pitcher or beat Campbell throwing their number two pitcher? Because that's what it is, basically. That's what you got to think about as a manager. Is my number two pitcher going to beat Campbell's number one? Or is my number two pitcher going to beat East Carolina's number two? And we know who East Carolina's number two is. It's our boy, Jake Kuchmanner.
If we have a matchup of Jake Kuchmanner
and Alec Manoah, we have to make that trip.
Dude. I want them both to throw like 300 innings of no-hit baseball together and like just like cancel the College World Series because they've thrown like 500 pitches and just refused to get taken out. I don't know.
Right. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it. Like, West Virginia, take the gamble. Like, say, my number two is better than Campbell's number one. And
hey,
my number
you know
four...
what?
What?
You know, a lot of these, bless you, a lot of these top hosting teams that are very confident, they throw their number two against that four seed.
Central Michigan? Yeah, they don't. Oh, that's a good point.
This is so lame.
Then you have to as West Virginia because, like, your number two is not beating their number one. Like, they're not – who's it, Jake Agnes for East Carolina? Like, he's not losing to West Virginia's number two.
Yeah. So wild, bro. I can't – don't let us still be a podcast when Selection Sunday comes out. Like, don't let us do it because we might have a three-hour show. We might.
We should. We should just do a three-hour live podcast from
– dude, I think we can go live on YouTube.
Yeah, we can, for sure.
Oh, my God.
There's so many possibilities. But anyways, that pretty much does it for our show. We're getting pretty hyped up. We still got to – it's past 1 o'clock my time. We still got to edit this and stuff, so we're going to call it quits. But you guys feel free to send us questions on any kind of social media platform. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can also, I guess if you really want to, like, ask for our numbers. Like, we'll text you.
Come to our house, hang out, you know.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. If you're in the Macon, Georgia area, I'll take you out to dinner.
Ben doesn't even take me out to dinner, so
So, but yeah, I mean, we've been texting with some of our fans that we trust. That's a very fine line. There's a very fine line between who we're going to text and who we don't. But anyways, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Shout out to my mom. She's one of our biggest fans. James, give your mom a shout out because she's awesome too.
That's right. Both of our both of our Madres deserve much shouting out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, on that note,
we'll be back Tuesday night. Can we confirm that Tuesday night?
I'm confirming it. Right meow.
All right, Tuesday night. You guys look for a show. It'll be fun, and we'll go from there. But you guys enjoy your last week of college baseball regular season.
Yep.